Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? O gracious Father, we are gathered here to hear your word. We pray that you would keep your promise, that when your word goes forth, it will accomplish what you have for its purpose. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Imagine with me for a moment, would you, that on the day that you are born, it is implanted into your brain the date and the time of your death. Would that affect the way that you live your life, knowing your whole life long the time that you were scheduled to die? Now, further imagine, if you would, that the number of years allotted to you was 33. And that the means of your death was also revealed to you, and that means was torture. I would guess in that situation, we would think of it often throughout our life, but as a child, maybe not so much, right? After all, when you're 5 years old, 33 years seems like a long life. By the time you were 17 years old, no doubt you would think to yourself, wow, 17, my life is more than half over already. And by the time you were 31 or 32 years old, my guess is it would come to dominate your thoughts by day and maybe by night keep you awake. Perhaps you would be like the guy in the Twilight Zone who tries to cheat death and make a way of escape for yourself. And so you would try and find some way to not show up in the location that you were supposed to show up on the day of your death. But that was not the case with Jesus, was it? He knew in advance the time of his death and the place of his death and the manner of his death, and in fact, he foretold it to his disciples long before it happened. With that in mind, let us take a look at the passage that has been chosen for us for today. It is found in Matthew chapter 21, and beginning with verse 6, where we start off with these words in verse 6. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. Now, what was that he had commanded them? Well, if you're familiar with the story, you'll recall that Jesus had told the disciples, he sent two of them to do this, to go into a village somewhere, I don't know, probably a couple miles away, and that when they got there, they would find a donkey tied and also the donkey's colt tied there. And they were to say to the owner, the Lord has need of them. And he would release them and let them take them and go back to the Lord. Now, in this passage, I think there are three unusual events that occur. And this is the first one, that Jesus knew where that donkey was. How did he know that? Right? He wasn't in that village that day. How did he know where to send the disciples? Well, he knew where the donkey was the same way in which he knows when a sparrow falls. And he knows where you are. He is God. And so the disciples go, and sure enough, there are the donkeys. One of the Lutheran commentators makes a special note of the obedience of these disciples in going, even though they knew Jesus hadn't been there to see those donkeys that day. Nevertheless, they were obedient, and they went and they found him, just as he said. We cannot always see the end of our obedience, can we? Our obedience to God. In fact, I wonder if, especially at those times when I cannot see the end, cannot see what he has planned, am I still obedient to his commands? Oftentimes not, I think. Perhaps it is the same with you. Verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them and set him, that is Jesus, on them. And then he will proceed to ride into Jerusalem on the donkey. Now, this is the second unusual event on this day. It is the fulfillment of a prophecy that's over 400 years old. Zechariah had prophesied long before, well, this prophecy here. He said this, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Verse 8. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out. And we'll hold up right here for just a second. It says, a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. How great? How big was that multitude? Well, we don't know. We do know this, that at times there were thousands of people following Jesus. No doubt this is larger than those crowds because this was in the vicinity of Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. And hundreds of thousands maybe of people were coming into Jerusalem on this day. I read one commentary that said up in the Talmud, it says in one place that 1.2 million people would converge on Jerusalem at this time. Other commentators say that's a bit much. But whatever it was well over 100,000 people. So there's people camping all around Jerusalem. It's a large crowd. I was in a crowd one time of 10,000 people in a March for Life one time. That's a big crowd of people, 10,000 people. This may have been 20,000. We don't know. We know that when he fed the 5,000, that was only the men that were counted that day. It may have been 10 or 15,000. Well, a lot of people, and they're noisy. They're noisy. Listen to this. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They are praising God and praising Jesus. And finally, this crowd has created such a disturbance that it has disturbed the whole city of Jerusalem. Verse 9. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And so the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." Surely this was an unusual day in Jerusalem, wasn't it? We've already seen two unusual events. I'll tell you, I think the most unusual event of all is that Jesus knows his appointment with death is 5 days away. The location is Jerusalem, and he is riding into town. If I had been on that donkey, I would have been riding across the hills someplace to try and escape. But he goes on to Jerusalem, and he doesn't seem the least bit absorbed in his own thoughts about what lies ahead. Doesn't seem as if his own torture and death is dominating his mind at all. He has prophecy to fulfill. He's got over 100,000 people who need to see him, who need to believe in him there. And so he rides into town. He's not shushing the crowds. He's not sneaking into Jerusalem. He knows full well that this parade is going to make the leaders even more determined to kill him. But he has something else on his mind that day. He has people on his mind. He has you on his mind. We think of this trip on the donkey. We often think of the donkey as a sign of his humility. That is surely true, isn't it? He wasn't riding a stallion, was he? He was riding a donkey, unlike a king. And yet, that was just another in a long series of events that mark his humiliation, right? Born in a barn, right? Had no place to lay his head during his ministry. This is just another in a long series of events of humiliation for him that finally led to his death. Even death on a cross, the Bible says. Why did he do that? Well, he did that because he wanted you. He wanted you to live with him in his kingdom forever and be his own. That's what he wanted. And so he who was too pure to behold sin took your sin upon himself and mine too. All of it. Every scrap of it he took. And then he washed it clean with his blood. So those sins do not exist anymore. And he says that if you will trust his sacrifice, he will take you to heaven to be with him. And so trust him, won't you? As your Savior. And then let his humility be your guide in your treatment of others. May God grant this to you and to me. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Would you please bow your head with me again? Almighty God, you show those who are in error the light of your truth so that they may return into the way of righteousness. Grant that all who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's kingdom may avoid those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to that profession. Through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.